scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. So the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And we will be reading verses 1 all the way to verse 20. So Mark, chapter 5. People of God, this is God's very word. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed. And about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And there ends the reading of God's word this morning. So as we continue the Gospel of Mark, last week we remember our shift. We shifted from the focus of Jesus always saying what the kingdom was like with parables, we shifted to now him kind of giving us a glimpse of the power of this kingdom he's been telling us about. Right before, he would be teaching, the kingdom is like this, and the kingdom is like that. But now, we're starting to see this glimpse of really what the kingdom is, the power behind it. Last week we saw Jesus calm the storm. It was just the word of his mouth. Actually, there were three words, but he did it. He just spoke. And the sea and the wind obeyed him. And you remember how the disciples responded? Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And we came to the conclusion that the only correct answer was Yahweh. Right? The man in the boat with these fishermen was God himself, the one who created the wind, created the sea and all that is in them. And now that Mark has shown that Jesus rules over nature, right? That he rules over the visible creation. Now we get a glimpse to see if Jesus can handle and rule over the invisible creation, right? The spiritual world. See, we've seen Jesus cast out one demon, even in this gospel. But how's Jesus going to handle a legion of demons. Let's see what he'll do. But if that's all we take from this text, if all we look at in this is what Jesus will do with this legion, I believe we're truly missing something. What do I mean? You know, if you've grown up in the church, which most of you have, you've heard this story many times. Many, many times. And the focus usually is on the legion of demons. And I think if we just focus there, we're going to miss what I think might be more important for us today, in the world we live in today, and the things we see today. Remember the underlying question of the Gospel of Mark. Who do you say that I am? Right? Who is this? That was the question from last week. And once you come to a conclusion to that question, once you come to an answer, how do you respond to it? Because you would think that everyone would respond with joy when they find out who Jesus is. You would think that people would want to celebrate that they figured out who Jesus is. Not many do. See, in our text this morning, we see two different responses to that question. See, and beloved, how you answer the question and how you respond to it will expose your heart. And this is what I really want to focus on this morning. This is what I really want to focus on in our text. That once you come to a conclusion of who Jesus is, how do you respond? How's your heart? Because it'll be that on display for everyone to see. So let's jump in to our text again in verse 1. Then they, that's the disciples and Jesus in the boat, came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of one of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So the storm is ended. They make it safely to the other side like Jesus promised they would. And right away we see one of Mark's favorite words, right? One of his action words, immediately. Immediately something happened. They just arrived. There wasn't time to make breakfast or a fire by the shore. They get out of the boat, and immediately there's a man running at them. Right? This man with an unclean spirit running out of the tombs right at them. And if you think that storm scared these men, I'm going to guarantee you this scared them even more. This is probably one of the scariest things they'd ever seen. Think about it. These Israelites get out of a boat. Where are they? They're in Gentile land, so they already think, ooh, this is kind of scary. This place is already unclean. And now there's this man who might not have any clothes on at all, running out of a tomb, which is probably a cave, right at them. And they're thinking, oh boy. Right? Unclean. And from this vantage point, they could probably see the herd of pigs on the hill. Again, unclean. Right? This whole situation would have given them the heebie-jeebies. They wouldn't have known what to do. And heebie-jeebies is a technical term here. See, Mark wants us to know. He's going to give us a little bit of background of this man, but he wants us to get that feeling of something's not right here. Right? Mark continues, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles were broken into pieces. Neither could they tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Beloved, what do we see there? You know what I see? I see a broken man, a slave to Satan. A man completely given over to and dominated by evil. Right? He's demon-possessed. He's living in tombs. He's uncontrollable. And there's one word that stuck out to me. I'm wondering if it stuck out to you as well. The word tame. Nobody could tame him. Don't we usually tame animals? What do you think of when you hear that word? Right? It sounds like they're describing a wild animal here. Yet we need to remember that this man was made in the image of God. Right? And the devil will do whatever it takes, whatever he can, to deface or kill an image bearer of the Most High. I wonder what Jesus saw when this half-naked man was running out of a tomb at him. What did he think? The townspeople, instead of helping this man, they would try to chain him up, which didn't always work. He had superhuman strength because of the demons. And I don't want to blame the townspeople here. Right? You don't want to blame them. They didn't know what to do with this man. Night and day, it says, he's crying out. He's cutting himself with rocks. What could they have done? He's probably scaring the children. Then we read verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Now, that word worship might make your antennas go up. What does that mean? Right? The Greek word used here has a sense of bowing down in reverence. Right? Other English translations have bowed down, have knelt down, have fell on his knees here. See, the demon here, realizing who's in front of him, bows the knee in reverence to somebody in a higher position than he is in. Right? And he lets us know how high the position is when he says this in verse 7. And he cries out with a loud voice saying, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" See, even the demon knows who he is. And he needs to bow before him. See, this demon knows he's in trouble. He's going to try to do whatever he can to get out of trouble. Whatever it's going to take, he wants nothing to do with Jesus. He's going to say anything that's going to lessen the damage of what Jesus is about to do to him. See, verse 8 kind of fills us in on why the demon said that. Because Jesus, when he sees this man, Jesus said, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What's your name?" And he answered him saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And this is where we can get bogged down, isn't it? Ooh, Legion, cool. That's a lot, isn't it? Right? A Roman Legion at this time was roughly 6,000 foot soldiers, 120 horsemen. That's a lot. And our minds can get carried away. Wow, our body can hold that many demons? That's not the point. That's not the point. I don't believe there were that many demons in them. There were a lot. Because we find out there was 2,000 swine. But you know, if you looked in the bulletin and you saw the name of the sermon, Pandemonium. And you might be thinking, that's what's going to happen later when the pigs run down that steep hill and they all drown in the lake. That would be pandemonium. But you know, do you know where the word pandemonium comes from? While I was studying this week, I came across this, and it blew my mind a little bit. John Milton, in his book Paradise Lost, puts two Latin words together, pan, meaning all, and demonium, meaning demons. All demons, that's what pandemonium means, abode of the demons. And he uses this word as the capital of hell in his book. So Jesus right now is talking with a little mini pandemonium here. So I don't want to lose the fact that behind this pandemonium, though, is what? A man. An image bearer of God. We can't lose that here. We can't get all, you know, our mind can't go running about the legion of demons. We have to remember the man. He's someone made in God's image. Think about today. This is where I want to really bring it to today. Today, the devil wants to destroy us, and not just the church, but every image bearer. He hates them all. The world may think the devil likes them. The devil hates them. He's just using them for what he needs to get. Why does the devil hate them? Because they're image bearers of the Most High. See, and we know that today, the new way he's doing this, the devil, is he's telling them that you're not who God made you to be. You're something different. And the worst part is now he's doing this with children. Why do I bring this up? Because I don't want us to forget the person behind the tricks of the devil. I don't want us to get mad at the children who are being used and abused by Satan and his minions. Image bearers. Right? Who's our true enemy? We don't fight against flesh and blood. Right? We never want to be afraid to tell these children and these people about Jesus Christ. Never. Because he's the only one that's going to set them free. He's the only one that's going to earn freedom for them. He's the only one that's going to bring them back into their right mind. Because I do believe the devil's brainwashed them. Just like this demoniac, beloved. Just like him. We're not mad at him. Even though he calls himself Legion. Think about this. Even though he calls himself Legion, this man is utterly alone. He lives in tombs. He can't even go to town. He's by himself all the time. He lives in a cave. The demons are in control of this man. You see what I'm trying to get at here? I think we need to remember who the enemy truly is. And it's not the ones made in God's image. It's the power behind it. Back to the text, verse 10. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." See, the demons have figured out this isn't going to go the way they had planned. They're on the losing side of this fight. And they're about to get kicked out of this man by Jesus. See, demons don't like to be floating around. They love possession. And the crazy thing is here is that Jesus answers their request. And that's a whole other sermon for a whole other day. We're not even going to go down that path. But he does. Verse 13, and at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. There's Mark using those action words, violently running down. Now today, when people hear this story, they'll either get stuck on the legion of demons or they'll get stuck right here. People will say things like, why was Jesus so destructive to the pigs? Surely he knew what was about to happen. didn't Jesus think about the livelihood of the herdsmen or the owner of the pigs? They lost their jobs. They lost their livelihood. Why would Jesus do this? And I want us to say, stop. Just stop. We need to think about the man that had been possessed by demons for who knows how long. Right? The pain and suffering that they caused this man, when I say man, think image bearer of God. And the demons didn't just cause this man pain, they caused the town pain. And now this man is free. This image bearer of God has been healed. This image bearer of God has had his sins forgiven, been given a new heart. And people want to stop and think, well, why did Jesus do that to the pigs? What? Well, today we just don't understand the significance of salvation. People who've grown up in the church, they take it for granted. They take salvation for granted. And I hope that's not us. What did Jesus say? Jesus says that when one person comes to repentance, heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. See, we get so stuck on the here and now. I want us to chew on this for a little bit. The significance of one person coming to salvation. Where are we without salvation? You spend an eternity. Where are we without salvation? We spend eternity in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where are we before salvation? We're enemies of God. Where are we before salvation? A place we don't want to be. So now, think of this. Salvation is impossible if it were up to us. You would be forever lost if it were up to you. How hard was it to save a fallen humanity? How hard? God sent His one and only Son to die on a cross. And if it would have been only for one, He still would have done it. And the world cries over pigs. You see what I'm trying to get at here? See, we take salvation not serious enough. Whose pigs were they anyways? They're God's pigs. And remember God said that He owned a cattle on 1,000 hills? Well, He owned 2,000 pigs on that hill that day too. These are God's pigs. And He used those pigs to free this man from demons. See, we should be singing, "Hallelujah to the Lamb of God." Instead of saying, "Man, Jesus, you're a mean guy." So now let's go back to the question. How do you respond when you come to the knowledge of who Jesus is? Look at the first response, verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. The townspeople came out to see this man who had been a thorn in their side for who knows how long. Sitting there, clothed, which is a good thing for them. They were probably really happy. In his right mind, not screaming out of the top of his lungs. He was normal. And they were afraid. no joy, no celebrating, only fear. No party to welcome him back into town. No hugs, no high fives. Silence. Maybe they would thank Jesus for solving their problem. They would thank Jesus for saving this man. Verse 16. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And I hope you have that question, why, in your hearts right now. Was it the pigs? Maybe. See, but I think it goes deeper. Beloved, people living in darkness hate the light. They just do. Maybe they were afraid that Jesus was going to transform their lives as well, and they didn't want that. They didn't like that idea. They liked the way they were living. Do we see this today more than ever? Sometimes we even see this with people who claim to be Christians. I believe Jesus, but I'm not quite ready to change my life yet. See, people cling to their sin and they beg Jesus to leave rather than to set them free. That's one response. That's one way to respond. What about the man who was set free? What about this image bearer? How does he respond? And when he got into the boat, speaking of Jesus, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Begged him. See, it's the exact opposite. The others are pleading for Jesus to get away. Get out of here, Jesus. Yet this man begs Jesus, please take me with you. Verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him. This man wanted so bad to be with Jesus. But Jesus said, no. Plans for this man. He would now be a light in a dark place. Jesus knew what this place needed, and it needed this man to be telling others about what the Lord had done. Right, look closely at verses 19 and 20. And you see the gospel writer Mark answer the question, who do you say that I am? Jesus tells this man, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And all marveled. Did you see the difference there? Jesus told him, go tell everyone what the Lord has done. And in the mind of the Jew at this time, when you say Lord, when you say Kyrios, you're thinking God Almighty. But this man thinks different. He departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. Jesus, for this man, is God, the Lord. Mark is telling us the answer to the question, who do you say that I am? But I hope and pray this morning we take away more than just the stories about a legion of demons. Because it's not. We saw it's not. Right? In our text, we saw two different responses of who Jesus is. Now here comes the question, how do you respond? How have you responded? Have people seen your hearts? Do they know which way your heart goes? Do you want to go and be with Jesus? Do you beg to be with him? Or do you want Jesus to go Do you plead with him? Get out of here. Here's the thing. See, I think people in the church can do this as well. And that's a scary thought. Jesus, I know you've saved me from my sin, but this is my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want. See, this justice isn't for those who are coming into the church to hear the gospel. This is for us today. Do we celebrate the coming in of the lost? Or do we stand in silence? How's your heart look? Because the way you answer the question, beloved, shows us how you answered the other one. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks every one of you that question this morning. And the way you answer that is going to expose this to the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father God,